Hog Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my beautiful wife, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and Hog Purim Sameach, which means Happy Feast of Purim, because tomorrow, Wednesday the 20th at sundown till sundown on Thursday, is the Feast of Purim, which we talked a lot about last week. So today we will do just a quick overview, and but we're going to look at some more typological pictures and look at the Antichrist as typified by Haman as well. Purim is a holiday that commemorates, as we read in the book of Esther, where God saves the Jewish people from annihilation through the faithfulness of the Hebrew Mordecai and his Jewish young cousin,
whom he raised after the death of her parents.
That's right. Now, we ask our listeners, more so this week, to intercede with us for divine intervention for salvation of as many as possible Jewish people, so to be spared from the soon coming judgment.
Yeah, you know, by the way, there really has been an increase over the last few years of Jews accepting Yeshua as their Savior.
I know, amen.
Yeah, it's great.
This is also a time to be prayerful, though, about the rise of anti-Semitism and to take a bold stand in light of this increased persecution. You know, church, we are all going through a time of testing, especially when it comes to compromising our values and toleration by keeping silent. So, church, we need to work on that. So, honey, let's today pray the traditional three-part Jewish prayer as said during every Purim.
That's a good idea. All right. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, Master of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us regarding the reading of the book of Esther, the Megillah. Blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, Master of the universe, who performed miracles for our Father in those days and at this time. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, Master of the universe, who has kept your people alive and has sustained them and brought us all to this season. Amen.
And as Christians, we pray that in Yeshua's name. And may many more see and come to your light. Amen.
All right, so there's a lot going on in Israel.
Well, yeah, as they are gearing up for their elections, I read just this morning that their Supreme Court are actually disqualifying the far-right candidates in favor of the more far-left candidates. Sound familiar? This is Israel's highest court, who has also approved two Arab parties to join the Knesset, their governing body. As well, last week, they dealt with flying missiles hitting Tel Aviv from Gaza, which, of course, brought retaliation from Israel.
Yeah, apparently about 100 bombardments.
Yes, but conveniently for Hamas, there were no casualties. None of its terrorists paid a price, for their military compounds had already been evacuated. And photos show only lightly damaged buildings.
Yeah, hardly a future deterrent there.
Hamas actually is now encouraged to continue after essentially getting away with it this time. And in fact, they are. They're doing more stabbings, more shootings, and even a hand grenade attached to a toy plane. To me, this is just continual pointless tit for tat, and we've been watching it go on for decades. But everything happens for a reason and in its season.
I guess that's what this upcoming peace deal is for.
Yes, I know. Timing is everything. And Syria's Assad has gone to Iran, we found out, to discuss opening Syria's border with Iraq, which is a plus for Iran to freely move in and out now that the United States and Russia are almost all gone. No one is surprised, and this will definitely lead to a clash of arms with Israel, and the United States will have to come to their aid.
You know, one wonders if this has been the plan for quite some time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And we witnessed Trump's first veto to Congress, which has been in all the news.
Well, it's tiring, actually.
I know, right? So we won't go there, but I wish the Mueller report would come out already.
Or maybe not.
Good point. Perhaps because I read last week that Mueller and the new AG William Barr, who I have stated often that I don't trust, for not only is he a Bush pick, he has been extremely good friends with Mueller for decades. Anyhow, according to The Spectator, which I hope is wrong, Mueller and Barr have been meeting often to discuss whether or not the president's adult children and Jared Kushner should and probably will be indicted for financial crimes.
And President Trump, but not till he's out of office.
Supposedly.
All right.
But last week, New York's law enforcement has started civil and criminal investigation on all his businesses, which may also lead to charges against other people in his orbit besides his children, with state crimes that a president cannot pardon.
Oh, and you know, they've also issued subpoenas to all of Trump's lenders.
Yes, as in Deutsche Bank, as part of this wide, wide ranging probe into Trump's many dealings. And Paul Manafort will probably die in prison because after the 7.5 years in federal prison, New York then charged Paul with a litany of state crimes, which again, Trump cannot pardon state crimes, only federal crimes.
You know, all this has to be frightening and very stressful for him.
Oh, he sure does hide it well. But everybody knows the left is out to get him.
And, you know, we can assume, you know, he's not squeaky clean.
We all know that. It's pretty much a given that he did inflate his assets on a loan application to try and buy the Buffalo Bills. But as our president, he's doing a great job. 2020, if we are still here, will prove to be historical. So, Saints, there is a lot to pray about. You know, America is losing ground quickly on many fronts besides politics. There are threats from Russia, Iran, China, terror threats, domestic lawlessness, greed, fraud, incivility, continued moral implosion, and that's just to name a few.
You know, these are very serious and unprecedented times.
But at least the Republicans, a few of them at least, are able to review again the Hillary email scandal and the dirty dossier fiasco, etc., as most of you have been probably following it on Hannity.
Yeah. Do you really think anything will ever happen to Hillary?
No way. Too many connections, and she has junk on them all.
Right. And you have a continuing
addendum.
Addendum. Mystery Babylon.
I know. I have trouble with that word, too. Yes, we have been discussing how the Pope is fulfilling prophecy by converging with false religions. First Islam, then Mormonism, and I read yesterday that there has been discussions with the Seventh-day Adventists as well.
He wants them all.
And he will get them all, except the born-again Christians, of course. And I do recall that Pope Francis has already, for a few years, has been negotiating with leadership rabbis and embracing Judaism.
But not with the intention of giving them the gospel as we do.
Oh, no. But rather to accept them as they are without Jesus. Judaism without Yeshua as their Savior is still unredeemable. We need to share the truth. Shofar Ministries teaches Christians their Hebraic roots because that is their foundation. But today, without Jesus, they are lost. Just like the Mormons who worship the angel Moroni or the Muslims who worship Allah, another name for Satan or Baal or Moloch in the Old Testament. But an agreement has already been made, which is why Pope Francis was able to conduct a mass in 2017 in Israel's upper room.
Yeah, in the city of David.
Yeah, you remember that? And he will get control at some point of the Temple Mount.
Mystery Babylon is the harlot.
Meaning the false religions of Revelation 17. Yeah, no, and it is taking form.
No doubt about that.
And it's right before our very eyes. It's amazing.
Be sure you are born again to escape what is coming.
Good words. because things are moving very quickly. Mm-hmm. And something else to ponder, perhaps the Daniel 9:27 agreement is actually a covenant made between all these religions, which will not include the wording anything about Jesus Christ as God.
So just maybe might not be the Trump peace plan after all.
Well, it's something to seriously consider because the verse in Daniel 9:27 uses the word covenant, which can mean spiritual as well.
So we will be watching all of that.
You better know that. But I must remind you, as we have stated before, that past popes, at least as far back as December of 93, have been working on what they termed the fundamental agreement. And you can Google that. And they since have been tweaking it every so often.
Yeah, I think the latest open meeting was in 2017.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So there has been something in the works, which could also be why Daniel 9:27 uses the word confirm, meaning a plan is already been in the works. And one last tidbit. The Pope's best friend dating back from his time in Argentina is a Jewish rabbi named Skorka, who co-authored a book with him, and it's named On Heaven and Earth.
Some have stated lately Pope Francis might even have Jewish ancestry.
Yes, as some other popes have found out as well later in life.
And even Christopher Columbus was Jewish.
I know, right? But bottom line, whatever religion or nationality, you cannot get to the Father in heaven without Jesus Christ.
Only one way to the Father.
And I say amen to that.
All right. Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And let me also add that your prayers and love offerings are very important right now, so we are letting our needs be known to you, and bless you for it.
Okay, last week we began a two-part study on the book of Esther.
Yes, and we hope you were able to reread it over last week, a very detailed account of another miracle of God, and how he meticulously placed all the characters exactly how he wanted them to fulfill his will and to show the Jewish people how God is almighty and true to his promise that he made to Jacob that his descendants would be as the sand of the sea.
Genesis 32:12.
And no one like Herod, Haman, Hitler, or anyone else could ever annihilate the first chosen people.
And boy, the enemy has certainly tried, haven't they?
They sure have. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:11 that the things of the Old Testament are given to us as examples to admonish us. And Romans 15:4, Paul says that the Old Testament writings are given to us for our learning and to give us hope. Since there is no book in the Old Testament that is written directly to Christians,
because we were a mystery.
Yes, right. So then how do we learn from it?
Well, much of it comes from pictures and types.
That's right. And Hosea tells us that in chapter 12, verse 10. So the Persian Empire of the 4th and 5th centuries B.C. extended over about 127 lands. So it was pretty big. And all the Jews were its subjects. They were treated well, though, but they were its subjects. Now, when King Ahasuerus had his wife, Queen Vashti, removed over his displeasure with her attitude as she just refused to attend his feast. So the king orchestrated a beauty pageant to find a new queen.
And he did. Esther, who found great favor in his eyes.
Although she did not divulge her Jewish identity at that time. And in chapter 2, we see the typological character Haggai, who beautifies Esther to meet the king, which pictures the Holy Spirit who beautifies us through his word to meet our king.
Yeah, that's a great picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at the typology of Queen Vashti.
Well, there can be two schools of thought here.
Yes. Some say she represents the Israelites who began to worship other gods, thereby not showing up to worship their heavenly God represented by the king. Still others feel that King Ahasuerus represents Jesus, who was rejected, therefore he opened it up to others who would be spiritual Jews in their hearts.
Which we are.
And worship Jesus and certainly recognize his feasts.
So, therefore, we are Christ's future queen in the millennial kingdom.
Either way works well with me and kind of typifies both scenarios when you understand the Trinity. So, again, Esther represents us, the bride, and future queen who really are spiritual Jews because Jesus lives inside of us.
Amen to that.
Meanwhile, the very anti-Semitic Haman was appointed prime minister of the entire empire.
Who represents the future Antichrist.
Especially since he had 10 evil sons represented by the 10 horns of the beast in Revelation 13. But Haman had a plan to annihilate the Jews, as will the Antichrist. And like Haman, will also be annihilated.
Amen to that.
Also, this is an important tidbit. Haman inherited the bad seed from the Agagites, whose ancestor was Agag.
That's right, Esther 3:1.
Mm-hmm. The Agagites were the enemies of Israel's first king named Saul.
And just happens to be from whom Mordecai is descended.
Yes. So Saul's disobedience in eliminating all the Agagites brings huge consequences to his later descendants. Therefore, Haman and Mordecai are caught reenacting a scene, the stage of which had been set much earlier.
Another proof that history repeats itself.
Again, Haman is second in command, so out of bitter jealousy, Haman succeeds in destroying Mordecai's favor with the king and proceeds to construct gallows on which to hang Mordecai and annihilate the Jews in a war. Haman casts the Purim, which is another name for lots, which lands in the first month of the biblical calendar, Nisan, on the 13th, to decide when to hang Mordecai. Then casts the lots again, which fell 11 months later on the 13th day of Adar, for the war to finish the annihilation of all Jews, both young and old. Mordecai beseeches Queen Esther, please intercede with the king on behalf of her people. She tells Mordecai to fast for the next 3 days, Nisan 13th, 14th, and 15th, at which time Esther requests admittance into the king's presence. Now, this was taking a big risk, for no one could enter the king's presence under penalty of death unless he called them first, even his wife, who he still did not know. She was Jewish. But out of great love for her, the king agrees and promises her anything. Her request is for the king and Haman to come to a banquet that she will prepare for them the following day. Still again, the king asks her what she desires. This time, her request is for the king and Haman to come to another banquet yet again the next day. Obviously, Esther was stalling for prayers to be heard and for the request to be asked on the 17th, which was the Feast of First Fruits, and although she was not aware, would later be the future resurrection of our Savior. Dates are meaningful in Scripture. So, it's the 17th of Nisan, and Esther, during the course of this banquet, reveals the plot of the wicked Haman to kill all the Jews, along with the truth about herself, about being Jewish. So the king immediately orders Haman and his 10 sons to be hung on the very gallows Haman had made for the Jews. The Jewish people were spared and then trained and given arms and armor to win the already decreed war that the king could not overturn, dated for Adar 13. That would be tomorrow. The king then made another decree and encourages the remaining Jews to go back to Israel to finish building the city and the holy temple in Jerusalem. Now, you know, in previous kingships, similar decrees were also made. The first decree actually came from King Cyrus, who had just defeated the Babylonians. The second decree came from his son Darius, and now the third decree came from King Ahasuerus, who is married to Esther. And this was the most important. For this decree, the third, was what Daniel's prophecy of the 70th weeks begins. Now, we know that date, thanks to some good historians, to be March 14th, 445 BC. The clock was later put on hold at Christ's death for the church age to be born. And as soon as we leave, the clock resumes its ticking for the last 7 years of Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy. And of course, as you know, and I've told you many times, this will be the time of judgment on the whole world. You can escape if you so choose, but it is your choice. Now, in closing, I want to say that we are nearing that final 7 years. The Antichrist is about to be revealed. And you know, when reading Revelation 13, at least 35 years ago, I pondered the scripture in verse 16 that says there will be an identifying mark that the people left behind must agree to take in their right hand or their forehead in order to buy or sell. But I question, why the head? Well, 35 years ago, we thought, well, it just had to be the head if that person didn't have a hand. That was the best we could come up with. Okay, but now we see that this mark could also be a technological brain chip that they will tell you it's just going to make you real smart, like a computer in your brain, and it actually is. And they are already doing it, and it goes by the name, I think, of BMIs. Anyway, literally, there is a chip-sized computer in your head. But the Antichrist and all his minions, well, they're going to program it, and then they can change it accordingly, according to what you do. Anyhow, now, Revelation 13, well, it's just making much more sense to me. And by the way, you probably already know this, but many, I call them foolish, are already requesting it. They want to volunteer to put this chip in their brain. Oh my, things are moving so fast with the one world religion and the new world order and Agenda 2030 or whatever they're calling it. It's just coming to a head. But the main thing is you can escape the worst of it if Yeshua is Lord over your life. Because if Jesus isn't ruling over your life, then Satan is, and there's no in-between, folks. And those of you Christians that are lukewarm, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's Word. You're going to need it for discernment. Let me leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Psalm 122:6. And pray for your president. And next week, try to read Obadiah and Jonah, two small books that we'll be going over. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.